Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our remote learning Ashari. We are learning the Zecha Nishmasa and the Ilui Nishmasa. Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaHashal, may her neshama have a continuous aliyah and the zchus of the Torah that we will share this evening together. So I'll just tell you one cute story if you see me looking out from my computer. Our friend from far, the one person who comes from very far, Westchester, said, "Oh no, I'm in the Five Towns." She was doing some Yom Tov shopping for her mother, Grandma Gat, so she came in advance of Shir. So I said, "Come to my house. No problem. You have a bowl of soup. You'll come to Shir." So she's here. So let's get started. So L'zeichu Nishmas Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHashal, may her neshama have a continuous aliyah in the schus of the Torah that we will share together this evening. We thank her family not only for their weekly commitment to the Shir, but through the entire year. This is our final Shir of Tafshin Pei Aleph. I said the same thing with each of my final Shirim this week. It's such a schus to have been brought in good health, with the cheshak to learn, and the chachma bina and das to learn, and the physical kolach to learn, and the health to learn, and hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki l'olam chasdo. What a tremendous chus to have been granted a full year of Torah learning together in this venue. And my tefillah is that the Ribbono Shel Olam should grant us that Tafshin Pei Beis should be stronger and even more aliyah, with continued kochos and good health to share the Torah together. Zeichu Nishmas Miriam Fron, Allah HaHasham. I forgot to check that everyone was muted. Sorry, let me do that now. Okay, so Nancy, where are you? Nancy, can I share with the Shir group what you shared with me about... actually, I should probably be asking Nancy that. Okay, let's get started. I was going to go back into the Sefer, really, I was, and then I decided to do Inyani Diyome. It just feels very appropriate that it is Erev Rosh Hashanah, and it's appropriate to learn Inyani Diyome. It will also be connected in some amazing way to the topic of the past weeks. I got very nice feedback from the topic of the past weeks, the idea of Gematria and the hidden secrets of Torah. So that's what spurred me to share this share with you tonight. So we say in our davening, are you okay, Joanna? We say in our davening on the Yamim Noraim about the Ribbono Shel Olam ki lo sach putz b'mos hamis. Hashem does not desire the death of the person who is spiritually dead. Ki b'shuvo midarko v'chaya. If you repent and return from your ways of wickedness, you will have life. V'ad yom moso techakalo. Until the day of death, Hashem waits for him. Ki b'shuvo v'chaya. If a person repents, Hashem takes you back. So there's no such thing as a person is a write-off. There's no such thing as we can't do it. There's no such thing as you can never come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem does not want a person to die. He wants a person to have life, and he wants a person to come back to him. I'm going to screen share from Pirkei Avos with you right now. Okay? Right here, prepared on the screen. It's Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Yud Gimel. You see it right here. And Joanna, it's okay. I'm going to read it.
Okay? I'm sharing the screen. Everyone else can see it.
So the Mishnah tells us, and it's interesting because it's talking about... Oh, wait, I forgot to ask. I can't see anybody over here. Could you see my screen? Could you see I switched to Pirkei Avos? Yes, thank you so much. So the Mishnah tells us in Perek Beis, Mishnah Yud Gimel, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Hey, vei zahir b'kriya shema b'tfila. You should be very careful. You should be meticulous. Chabad's translation is meticulous. You should be careful. You should be on guard with when it comes to kriya shema and tefila. Ukisha atam mispala. What is the key to positive tefila? What is the key to successful tefila? What is the key to having your tefillos meaningful and hopefully Be'ezrat Hashem answered L'tova by the Ribbono Shel Olam? K'sha'ata mispala, and when you daven, al tas tefilascha keva. This is a big, big challenge in Avodas Hashem. Do not make your tefillos by rote, by routine. It shouldn't be something that you mumble off the words without even thinking about what you're saying, because you've done it every day, so today you're not nothing about it either, every day until now, and he just rambled them off. It shouldn't be in a state of routine. Every single time you daven, it should be with mercy and supplication before the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is especially relevant when it comes to the Yamim Noraim. During this time period of the year, we spend so much time davening. Slichos have begun for Sfardim from Rosh Chodesh Elul, for Ashkenazim from this past Motzei Shabbos. We're going to be adding an Avinu Malkeinu for 10 days, twice a day, our Father, our King, extra supplication. We add in an extra chapter of Tehillim, Kapitel Chav Zayim, chapter 27, twice a day from Rosh Chodesh Elul, all the way through the Yamim Tovim. There's a lot of extra tefillah, and there's a lot of time spent in prayer. So what should you do? It shouldn't be rote. It shouldn't be routine. When you daven, it should not be kiva. It should be rachamim v'sachanunim ifnei makom, with mercy and supplication, shenemar, like the pasuk says, quoting from Yoel, ki chanun v'racham hu, he is merciful and benevolent, erach apayim, he's slow to anger, v'rav chesed. These are some of the attributes of God that we mention in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, which we repeat over and over during the Ilah. He is slow to anger, he is of abundant kindness, v'nicham al hara, he changes his mind about the bad. Nicham in Torah does not really mean comfort at all. The first time we see is at the end of Perek Vav in Bereishis, actually not the end of Perek Vav, the beginning of Perek Vav, which is in the end of Parshas Bereishis. Nicham means to change your mind, and Hashem reconsiders about doing bad. And then finally the Mishnah tells you, and this is what I want to focus on tonight, Va'al tehi rasha b'fnei atzmecha. Do not be a rasha in your own face. Chabad translates it as you see on the screen, do not be wicked in your own eyes. So if you want to know what one of the keys to successful tefillah is, Rabbi Shimon telling you, not only should it not be habitual, mitzvah salat nashim melumda, not only should it not be by rote, not only should it be full of passion and intent, because God is merciful and compassionate, he wants to hear from us, he's slow to anger, he will reconsider on the bad, but the key to successful prayer is al tehi rasha b'fnei atzmecha. You should not be a wicked person in your own eyes. And this is what I want to say. 1 second. Okay. Fine. Thank you, Nancy. Okay. So you should not be a wicked person in your own eyes. And one of the biggest impediments to teshuvah, and to avodas Hashem is thinking badly of ourselves. Rabbi Zav Lef has spoken about it. I've quoted him saying it before. When a person thinks there's a shmata, when a person thinks they're like a rag, they're nothing, they're worthless, that's one of the biggest impediments to coming close to God. Because like Rabbi Zev Lev says, if you think you're a bad person, so Hashem doesn't want to hear from me. Hashem doesn't want to have anything to do with me. If I'm a total write-off, so I can't bring anything to Avodas Hashem. And then why would Hashem want me to pray to him? Why would Hashem want me to do my Sim Tovim, acts of good deeds? If I'm a bad person, so Hashem's not interested in hearing from me. So one of the biggest tactics of the Yetzer Hara is he makes us feel bad about ourselves in our Avodas Hashem, and then a person doesn't want to come close to God. So it's really a method of the Yetzer Hara. Maybe your Yetzer Hara never said it to you, but he said it to me. How could you have done that? Joanna's nodding yes. How could you have said that? The tefillah was so bad. How could you have spoken Lashon Hara? Why were you impatient? X, Y, and Z. So a person can come to feel like a rasha b'fnei atzmecha. And if Chazal caution us about this in Pirkei Avos, it's not just unique to me, Michal Hartz. It means it is an experience that we all have. It means that it's part of the human condition, that the tactic of the Yetzer, even what's his name, Yetzer Hara, Russia. He wants you to feel bad, right? Reish Shin Ayin. Yetzer Hara has the two words, reish, two letters, Reish Ayin. So part of being a Rasha b'fnei Atzmecha is seeing yourself as Ra, and you see yourself as Ra because it is the Yetzer Hara that wants you to see yourself as bad. And that is why we know that every person has two pockets. I've quoted it many times. Rav Salavetcher quotes it in the name of the Kotzer. It's quoted in the name of other Rabbanim. One pocket is Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. I'm the most amazing thing since Adam. The whole world, like literally, pun is intended, the whole world was created for me. The other pocket, on the other hand, says, "Say Anochi Afar Ve'efer." I'm dust and ashes. If you have too much, I'm dust and ashes, then you're a Russia before yourself. If you have too much, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, I'm the best thing since Adam, you have too much haughtiness. Both are not good. If you're too much of a Baal Gaiva, you can't serve Hashem. But if you're almost also too much self-demeaning and self-critical, you also can't serve Hashem. In both aspects, you can serve Hashem. Then you become a Rasha before yourself, so you need a balance. So that's why we have two pockets. On the one hand, the world was created for you. On the other hand, you're not so great. We balance those out. So 1 second, I'm very warm. 1 minute. Are you hot?
I'm fine.
Because I started teaching. So we have to balance out both of these emotions and both of these experiences within ourselves, and not to feel like such a rasha, because if you do, it's going to be very hard to come back to the Ribono Shel Olam, especially during this time period when Hashem desires our teshuva. What's the root word of teshuva? Lashuv is to return. I was just reading a piece today on Soloveitchik and repentance. That's what the Sefer is called. It's of Soloveitchik. The Sefer is called Soloveitchik on repentance. How he talks about teshuva is a circle, and it's coming back home. It's returning unto the source. So teshuva is to return unto God. And if we strive to return unto God, we must see ourselves as worthy, important, valuable people. So now I want to move to expanding upon a piece from Rabbi Zavash. Was anyone surprised that I said that? Are you smiling? Some of you are smiling. People I could see are smiling, and so is Joanna. And I'm also smiling. I was listening to a shiur yesterday morning by Rabbi Zavlev Shlita, and I've listened to so many of his shiurim that are not posted so frequently anymore. So I have to go back, and I choose whatever topic I think I didn't listen to. So it was on Parshas Bo. Parshas Bo is from Sefer Shemos. It's the Exodus from Egypt. It was on the Ben Harasha, the wicked son. So I was listening to it on my fast walk, and I realized that it has a lot of relevance to Inyanei Diyoma. So we're actually going to talk about the Ben Harasha. Okay? At the Seder table, there are four sons. There's the Chacham, he's the wise one. There's the Tam, the simple one. The Eino Yodea Lishol, he doesn't even know how to ask. Excuse me. And then there's the Rasha, the wicked one. Note that he is also at the table, but he is the Ben HaRasha. Of interest, and this is related to Inyanei Diyoma, because also on Sukkos, we have the representation of four types of Jews. Just like we do on Pesach, so too we have on Sukkos. What do we have on Sukkos? We have the Arba Minim. The Arba Minim are the four species bound together. Lakachtam lachem b'yam harishon, Vayikra 23:40, Chaf Gimel Pasuk Mem. Lakachtam lachem b'yam harishon, pre-eitz hadar, kapost marim, anaf eitz avos, that's adasim, v'arvei nachal aravos, v'samachtam lefnei Hashem elkechem shivas yamim. So on Sukkos, you also have the four sons. Who are the four types of Jews on Sukkos? So the Esrog, famous Medrash. The Esrog, the pre-Eitz Hadar, which has smell and taste, is the Jew who has Torah and Maisim Tovim. He's a Torah Jew, and he also has good deeds. The Lulav, which has taste without fragrance. I'm not sure who tasted it, but I guess somebody. The Lulav has taste without fragrance. This represents the Jew who has Torah, but no Maisim Tovim. Okay, not the best condition. The Arava, no, not the Arava, let's do that last. The Hadas has, which is translated as the myrtle, has smell but no taste. This represents a Jew who has Maisim Tovim, good deeds, but no Torah. And finally, the lowly Arava. Who's the Arava? The willow, Arve Nachal. He grows by the water. He's the Arava. He has no smell, he has no taste. And which Jew does he represent? The Jew who doesn't have Torah, and who also does not have Maisim Tovim. What kind of Jew is that? A Rasha. If you don't have any Torah in your life, and you don't have any good deeds in your life, what claim to fame do you have as a Jew? You don't have anything. You're not good, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Maisim Tovim. You're not good, Ben Adam L'Makom, Torah, but you're a Rasha. Bataka, L'Kachtam L'Chem B'Yam HaRishon. They all need to be bound up together. Furthermore, we have the power of the Tzibur. I'm not even at the Shir of Rabbi Zev Lafia. This isn't from the Shir yet. I'll tell you when I get there. Furthermore, I'm just bringing you proof that it is relevant to Sukkos, to the Inyanei Diyoma of Tishrei, because also in Sukkos you have the representation of the four sons, or the four types of Jews. There's the Jew who has Torah and Maisim Tovim. He's the most geshmaka kind of Jew. He's good in Torah, and he's good in good deeds. You have one who's good in Torah, but not good deeds. Good deeds, but not in Torah. At least they have some attribute. So what is the lowly Arava doing in this bundle? Why do I want the Rasha here? No Torah, no good deeds. What kind of Jew are you? You're a write-up. You should get out. But if you're missing one of the four species, then you're not Mekayim the mitzvah. You can't have three. You can't change it because the Arava doesn't have smell and taste. God said, take him, the Arve Nachal. What was I just about to tell you? Okay, I don't remember the last thought that popped into my head. Do you remember? What did I start to say? Sibur, thank you. See, it's good Joanna came in person from Guru Mega after she shot for her mother. Mitzvah of Kibbutz Ave'im, and also helping me remember what I was going to say. So the Sibur is an acronym. This I did hear from Rabbi Zavlev in a totally different shir. not the one I'm about to get to. Tzibur, and I've told it to you before, I hope you remember, it stands for Tzadik Beinoni Rasha. Okay? Yes, that's exactly right, Chana Wasserman. The Ketores in Paraglamid Aleph of Sefer Shemos has 11 spices. Very nice addition. It includes the Chalbana. The Chalbana is Bosem Sherecho Ras, as Rashi. It is an herb or a spice that has a bad smell. If it has a bad smell, then why is it included in the incense spices that are offered on the golden altar every day, morning and night? To tell you that any fast day and prayer gathering that does not include the Poshe Yisrael is not valid. A very nice Chanavasim and a very nice addition. So here you see another proof that the Rasha has to be included. Poshe Yisrael, the sinners of Israel. If they're not included, if the Chalbana is not one of the 11 spices of the Ketores mixture, it's not valid. It has to be exactly in that amount, exactly those spices as prescribed by the Torah. We see this in the power of Tzibur. Tzibur stands for Tzadik Beinoni Rasha, the most righteous person. He has Torah and Maisim Tovim. The Beinoni, the middle guy, maybe has some Torah but no good deeds. Maybe he has good deeds but no Torah. And finally, the Reish is the Rasha, the wicked person. He doesn't have anything, but he's at the Seder table. He's in your Arba Minim on Sukkos, and he's in the Chal, as the Chalbana, in the spice mixture of the Ketores. And I'm tying this into, I'm not up to Rabbi Zavlaf yet, I'm tying this into the mission that we began with in Pirkei Avos. If you want to have really positive, a positive prayer experience, the key is, says Rabbi Shimon, Al tehi rasha bifnei atzmecha. Because if you see yourself as that wicked person, you might reject your own self, and you think that God rejects you, and then you don't have anything to do with Hashem, because you think he doesn't want anything to do with you, which is not true. So now we go to Rabbi Zavlaf and the Ben Harasha in the Haggadah Shal Pesach. Okay, so I have my Haggadah Shal Pesach here. Rasha Mahu Omer, remember, he's at the table. You didn't tell him he can't come to the Seder. He's in the Arba Minim. And he's in the Chal, he's in the Ketoras, the incense spice mixture as the Chalbana. He's in your Agudos Taniyos Seirus, as Rashi, our prayer gatherings, and he's part of the Tzibur. Rasha Mahu Omer. What does the Rasha say? I'm sorry, Chalbana, okay, there were 11 spices as part of the incense mixture that was offered every day in the Mishkan / temple on the golden altar. Okay, there were two altars, the golden and the copper. The Mizbech and the Choshes, the copper was used for animal sacrifices, korbanos. The golden altar in the space called the Kodesh, the Mizbech HaZahav, or Mizbech HaPnimi, or Mizbech HaKtores, was used to offer the incense mixture. It would, Aaron would offer it, and the Kohen, and the whole space would be filled with the smoke of the Ketores, and included in the 11 spices, you could look it up, like I said, in Parshas Ki Tisa, was a smell, a bad-smelling herb. So the lesson from the bad-smelling herb, which is called Chalbana, was that we must include the Poshe Yisrael, the sinners of Israel, in our fast days and our prayer gatherings. Is it clear now? If it's not clear, you could post again. Okay. That clarification was probably important not only for Safta, I'm not even sure who that is, but probably for other people as well. Rasha, Mahu Omer, what does the wicked person say at the Seder table? Mahavodo Zoslachem, what does this work for you? Lachem Vilolo, he says, you have all this work, not for him. Ulafisha Hosi Etz Atzmo Min HaKlal, because he took himself out of the assembly, Kafar Be'ikar, it's as like he denies everything in Judaism, including Chas V'Shalom God. Va'af Ata, so what is your response? Hake Eshinav. Knock out his teeth, the Amar Lo, and after you knock out his teeth, you should say to them, Ba'avur Zeh, Asah Hashem Li Betzeisim Mitzrayim. Because of this, God did for me when he took me out of Egypt, leave Lo Lo, for me, but not for him, Ilu Hayasham Lo Hayanigal. If he was there, he would not be redeemed. So now we go to Rabbi Zavlef. So this seems very extreme. The guy's at your Seder table. So he asks a question, what does this work for you? And what are you supposed to do? Knock out his teeth. And you say, because of this, Hashem did for me when I left Egypt, for me and not for him. And then furthermore, you say, you know, if you would have been there, you would have not been redeemed. What's going on here? So first of all, Rabbi Zavlev quoted the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, how do we understand Ilu Hayasham Lo Hayanigal? Why doesn't it just say Lo Hayanigal? He's not worthy of redemption. It specifically says the Gra Ilu Hayasham. If he was there, Lo Hayanigal. What does that mean? So now I'm going back to screen share with you. OK, Okay. I'm going back to screen share. We're going to Sefer Shemos. Ah, Parshas Bo. Also, Rabbi Zalev didn't bring this Rashi up, but I am going to because it's relevant to the Shir. Okay, I'm not going to say everything that he said and that I said, but specifically his Ha'ara, I'm going to tell you and you're going to know. I'm adding some things in to his insights, okay? Just to help us get to the Shir more. This is Parshas Bo, and it is Makas Choshech, the plague of darkness. Okay, so there's a big plague of darkness. Let's see what Rashi says about the plague of darkness. Okay. Vayihi choshech afela shloshes yamim. There was a deep darkness for 3 days. There were 6 days of choshech. There was 3 days of regular darkness. And like Rabbi Jurafel says in his book for kids, I read this so many years ago to my kids, and it stuck in my head for years. There was 3 days of regular darkness, and then there were 3 days, says Rabbi Jurafel. My youngest are 15. We read this book probably 10 years ago. But it was such a beautiful way of thinking about it. The next 3 days were like chocolate pudding. So in other words, because we don't understand, what does it mean, thick darkness? You couldn't stand up, you couldn't sit down. Rashi says it, it's Rashi on my screen. It was like chocolate pudding darkness. So what happened? We're going to start in the middle of Rashi. I told you the beginning of Rashi outside. Could you see my screen? Shahayu bi Yisrael ba'oso ador rishaim. There's that word. Shahayu bi Yisrael ba'oso ador rishaim. V'lo hayu ratzim. Let's say there was in that generation wicked people, and they didn't want to leave. Umesu bishloshes yimei afela. They mamish died during that 3 days of chocolate pudding, thick days of darkness, so that the Egyptians would not see their downfall. The Egyptians would say, oh, look at this. They are dying from their deity. We're also dying. We're not being punished. The Israelites are dying also. So this is one of the reasons for the shloshes yimei afela, the 3 days of very, very thick darkness. Specifically, you see the appearance of the word Rasha'im, because the Rasha'im in that generation, mamish did not want to leave Egypt, and they died during the 3 days of very thick darkness. So the Vilna Gaon teaches, what we say about the Ben Harasha is, Ilu haya sham, lo haya nig'al. If he was there, he would not be redeemed. Only there. There is to the exclusion of every other galus. Ilu haya sham, lo haya nig'al. If he was in Egypt, he wouldn't be redeemed. How do you know? Because we know that 4/5 of the Jews died. What's the first words of Parshas Beshalach? V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael, Eretz Mitzrayim. What's chamushim? Next parsha, Beshalach. They went up armed. Mizuyanim, says Rashi. Armed, they were armed. But chamushim is from the root word, obviously, chamesh, 5. What does that mean? So Rashi says 4/5 of the Jews died during Makas Choshech. It's a huge number. Let's say they were 2 million people when they left. That's 1/5. It's millions and millions of people. It's mind-boggling. We don't think about it. But millions of people died during the Choshech Yimei Shloshes Yimei Afela. They were Rasha'im. Ilu haya sham, lo haya nigal. Aval kan, yihya nigal. It was only from Egypt that a Rasha was totally lost. How so? Because Rabbi, if you want water, you could take. Because Rabbi Zev left, said... You saw where the cooler is?
I'm great. Okay.
Because Rabbi Zev left said, in Mitzrayim, you could actually lose the spark of your neshama. It was before Matan Torah. It was obviously before Matan Torah. And they steeped down to the 50th level of impurity. Those Rasha'im fell to the 50th level of impurity, and they were lost. Since that time, there's no such thing as a Jew is totally lost. Never. No matter how far away from Yahadus he looks, he could always come back. The power of repentance, of salvation of repentance, you're making a circle. Teshuvah, you started at one point, and really what you're doing is always journeying back to that end point, because Leshuv means to return. It's return in repentance. What's Shabbat Shuvah? Shuvah Yisrael al Hashem al Kecha ki kashalta bavanecha. How could you return to God if you stumbled in your iniquity? It's never impossible for a Jew to come back. Al ti Rasha b'fnei atzmecha. There's no such thing as a pure Rasha anymore. The spark of this Jewish soul always remains. You cannot say you're totally written off. Says the Vilna Gaon, the answer to the Ben Harasha is, Ilu haya sham, lo haya nigal. If you were in Egypt, it's true, you wouldn't have been redeemed. Because you could have fallen to the 50th level of impurity, you would have been lost. But here, from every other galus, he will be included in the ultimate redemption. It's only there you wouldn't have been redeemed, but here you would be redeemed. And it's a tremendous reminder to all of us about the koach of teshuvah. Let's say you're working on Lashon Hara. I'm just trying to give examples. I don't know. Or the midah of patience. Or being makbid achav Yisrael. or dressing more tsundua, or adding a tefillah to your day, or attending a shir, or being kinder, whatever, giving more tzedakah. Last year, when you felt it hard to detach yourself from your money, this year you're really going to give your meiser, it's going to be a better year. Whatever you're trying to do, let's say you worked on it last year, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before, and I'm still struggling with the same thing. So the biggest impediment is if you see yourself as a rasha who can never progress, and you're never going to progress. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Only if you realize you could never be the Rasha. It's only Sham Lo Hayanigal. That's why he's at your table. That's why I'm adding in the Arba Minim, he must be included as the Arava. If he's not included, I just thought of something. Arava, if you switch around the words, it's Aveira. He's the Jew, Aveira means sin. He's the Jew who's busy with Averos, but he must be as part of the Arba Minim. So a person should not be a rasha b'fnei atzmecha, because there's no such thing as unredeemable rishos from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was only there. So now that we understand, I know we have to remind ourselves of this before Pesach, or the Seder table, Be'ezer Hashem. Ilu hayasham lo hayinigal, that's the gra. But, by the way, today was 24 Elo. Tonight is Or L'Yom Chav Hei Elo. Today was 24 Elo. It was the 88th Yortzeit of the Chavetz Chaim, Zchus Yagen Eleinu. I mentioned it in all my day shirim as well. What about Af Ataha Ke'eshinav? You knock out his teeth. Is that nice? Isn't that a little strange? Where Achmanim, Baishanim, and Gomei Chasadim? Even if it's proverb, what are we even saying? Knock out his teeth. Af Ataha Ke'eshinav. You knock out his teeth. And we've been talking a lot about gematrias the past few classes. Okay? I got very nice feedback from the people who listen online as well. To always, but to these few shiurim, because it was just really fascinating, I thought as well. So Rabbi Zevlev said something incredible. I'm going to type it for you on the chat so that you could see what I'm talking about. Okay? And Joanna will listen, or she could look at my notes after she wants. Watch this. Rav, maybe he's hungry for mitzvah. Rav? Arava. Oh, Arava. Rav, he's hungry. He's like starving for mitzvahs. Okay, very nice. Vayi Rav Ba'aretz. Okay, here we go. Rasha. Reish in gematria is 200. Bear with me. Shin in gematria is 300. I'm putting this on the chat so you could see what I'm doing. And ayin in gematria is easy. Ayin is 70. So what is the total gematria of Rasha? That's extremely easy math. That's 570. Resh is 200. Shin is 300. Ayin is 70. The gematria of Rasha is 570. Now let's go to the gematria of Shinav. Af atahake Shinav. You blunt his teeth, or you dull his teeth. You knock out his teeth. Shinav, what's the gematria of Shinav? Shin is 300. Nun, sorry, it just takes me time to type on this keyboard, is 50. Yod is 10. And Vav is 6. Remember, this is a great insight and fine way to close our year, because the past 3 weeks we've been talking a lot about hidden aspects, the Nigla and the Nistar, and a lot about gematrias and finding the hidden revelation, if I could say that. The Galot et HaNistar, Megillat Esther is the Galot et HaNistar. We are revealing the hidden aspects of the Ribono Shel Olam in nature. Here we go. So, okay, please don't post anything on the chat, sorry, just now, okay, because I'm trying to get through the gematrias and I would like it to be in order. So if you could just hold your comments, please, kindly. Look back on the chat. Rasha gematria is 570. We went through it. All the numbers are here. Shinav, the gematria, is 366, okay? 570 minus 366 equals, I did all the math before, it's here on my paper, equals 204. Okay? So when you have the Rasha, and you minus his Shinav, you blunt, or you take out his Shinav, you're left with 204. Rasha minus Shinav, the wicked person, minus those teeth that are speaking Rishos, take them out! Don't let him speak like that. You're left with 204. What is the next gematria I'm going to put on my screen? Watch this. Tzadi is 90. Dalet is 4. Yod is 10. This is tremendous. And Kuf is 100. What letter, what word did I just spell? Tzadi is 90, Dalet is 4, Yod is 10, and Kuf is 100. Tzadik. What's the gematria of tzadik? The gematria of tzadik is 204. Rabbi Zavlov said the proof that a Rasha is never totally a Rasha. There's no such thing as he's so far gone that he can't be rehabilitated. There's no such thing. Mitzrayim, yes. Af ata amorlo. Ilu hayasham lo hayanigal. You wouldn't have been redeemed, but everything changed. There you wouldn't have been redeemed, but here you would have. What a message. I know it was this Pesach Shir, but what a message for now, for the Yomim Noraim, whatever you feel on that whole list of Al-Chait that's relevant to you, and probably a lot are relevant to us, because we're not Malachim. We're human beings. I'm not insulting anybody. The Maisa, part of the human condition is that we fall and we fail. We're fallible. We're not perfection. What does that even mean? The Chofetz Chaim used to say, it's in the biography, just because a person cannot be perfect. Oh, this is your say today. Just because a person cannot be perfect does not negate his responsibility to try and be good. But I'm going to get the safer so I can tell you the exact quote in his merit. 1 second. Here we go. The Chofetz Chaim's Yirtzei was today. The fact that a human being is unable to become perfect does not mean that he can therefore neglect his duty to be good. The fact that a human being is unable to become perfect does not mean he can therefore neglect his duty to be good. So the fact that we made mistakes this past year, and perhaps the year before, and the year before, and we feel frustrated, and you might start to see yourself as a Rasha, but Rabbi Shimon comes along and he says, "Al ti Rasha b'fnei atzmecha." It's the wrong attitude. You should never see yourself as entirely wicked, because from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's no such thing as a person is a total write-off. And sometimes it's easier. Sometimes we judge other people more harshly than we judge ourselves. But sometimes, I don't know if you but me, we judge ourselves more harshly than we judge others. So you should, by the way, you should be judging yourself more harshly than others. But you have to be very careful. It's a fine line between sometimes giving yourself the chizuk that's needed to come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam and crossing the line between seeing yourself as a Rasha, which why Rabbi Shimon cautions us. Rabbi Zavlev said, what is the proof that the Rasha is never lost? Here we go. Rasha my nishinav is tzaddik. The gematria, the numeric value of Rasha, which is 570, minus what you just took out of his mouth, Shinav, look on the chat, it's all there for you, which is 366, is 204. And what does that equal? Tzadik. It's proof that even a Rasha could come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he is never totally lost, which helps us understand why, when you come up to Sukkos, which is the Yom Tov of Simcha, V'samachta b'chagecha v'yisa ach sameach, is said in regard to Sukkos, not in regard to Pesach. There's no Simcha actually listed in the Torah as part of Pesach. Not in regard to Shavuos, when there's only 1 degree of Simcha mentioned. But the Lashon of double Simcha is only by the mitzvah of Sukkos. Yes, we had the Simcha Spesa Shoeva. But perhaps we could say part of that is the understanding that all Jews come together. And if the Rasha is excluded, then there is no Simcha of the Yom Tov of Tishrei. And all the more so, we have to see ourselves as a Rasha. And now I want to go to, okay, so that's on Rashi Meimer. Ilu hayasham, lo hayanigal. And now we understand, af ata hake eshinav, blunt his teeth. In other words, take out the shinav. But when you take out the shinav, what you're left with is a tzaddik. And that's how we have to go into the Yom Hadin. That's how we have to go into the new year. We spent a whole year learning about Emunah and Dveikus, coming close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, finding God in nature, finding God in ourselves, finding the capacity within ourselves. And it's true we made mistakes this past year, and that's what Vidui is. Asham nubaganu gazalnu dibarnidofi. Me and everybody else. On that whole list of al-chaits, and it relates to the most intimate part of our lives. And it's hard to accuse oneself. But if we're too much of a Rasha, then you don't think you have hope for repair. And even if you have failed, 7 times, you Paul will come. You could always get up. And even if you failed 100 times, none of us are worse than Elazar ben Dordai. Elazar ben Dordai, Maseches Avodah Zarah Yud Zayin, I believe, who crossed rivers to sleep with every zona in the world. He took a purse full of gold coins. And even he came back in repentance. Rabbi cried when he heard the story. And he said, Lo dai in the tzaddikim. It's not enough. Lo dai in the chozim b'teshuvah. That they're accepted in Shemayim. Korim osam Rabbi. At the moment of his death, because of his repentance, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordia was given smicha. He went from being Elazar ben Dordai, who slept with every zona in the world, to being a chozer b'teshuvah and be called Rabbi Elazar ben Dordai. He was elevated. His status was elevated. So it's a message of hope for the new year. And whatever issue you're struggling with in your Avodas Hashem, it's between you and God. But you shouldn't think it can't be done. There's no such thing as I'm beyond repair. And by the way, it's an important way to look at others also. When you look at someone else in your life, you might think they're beyond repair. I'm talking about people close to you. We shouldn't be looking at others who are like, you know, have nothing to do with us and be judging them. It's not my business. But Lamaisa, the people who are in our circle, very often have an effect on us. Whether right or wrong, it's a fact. You should never look at somebody else either and say they're beyond repair. There's no such thing. When you take out the Shinav from the Rasha, you're left with a tzaddik. I ask you, if anybody else but the Ribbono Shel Olam could compose Lashon HaKodesh, could you make this up? I used to have a friend who learned with me, Yocheva Goldberg. Baruch Hashem, she got remarried later in life and she moved to a different community. But she used to say, and sure, you can't make this stuff up. Could you make up a tzaddik minus Shinav, that Rasha minus Shinav is tzaddik? I can't make it up. But it's such a message of hope and inspiration as we stand poised on the Yom HaDin. Because how did we start Shir? Hashem doesn't see anyone as a write-off. Ki lo sach potz b'mos hamis. God does not want the death of the spiritually dead person. Ki im mishuvo midarko. If he repents from his ways, v'chaya, he will live. Hashem is always willing to give him life. Come back to me, says Hashem. I'll take you back. It doesn't matter who you are. It could be Elazar ben Dordai. You're going to become a rabbi when you repent in teshuvah. I'm going to one of my favorite books this season, if you haven't been able to tell. You have to hear the story. Oh, for people listening, I'm quoting from Yamim No Rhyme with the Magid by Rabbi Pesach Krohn. Someone's there.
Thunder. So there's lightning and thunder now.
Okay. Here we go. A certain rabbi, a young rabbi, came to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, just now Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livracha, with a shayla. I had to go out of town last week, so I didn't, my kids, who leaves early in the morning, then he comes back after I left out of town, so I left this book near his farim with a sticky. I said, you must read page 331 to 334. I left him this story specifically to read. A wealthy religious man, Dati man in Israel, died, and he left a will with very specific instructions regarding the distribution of his money. He had amassed close to $3 million, which he was leaving to his children. He had two children, a Chiloni, non-religious son named Nir, N-I-R, if there's an asterisk, which means it's not the real name, and a daughter, Amit. They were both not religious. How should the money be divided? He stipulated, that if Nir were to say Kaddish for him 3 times a day, every day, for the next 11 months, he would inherit $2 million, and Amit, the sister, would get $1 million. However, if Nir missed even one Kaddish, he was totally not religious, out of the entire 11 months, then he and Amit would share their inheritance equally. They would each get $1.5 million. Although Nir had no interest in going to Beit Knesset, he did not miss a single Kaddish. He would come to Beit Knesset either in the Moshav, or this is the rabbi from the Moshav who came to Rav Leib Steinman, or if he was somewhere else, every morning. He did not bring his talit, he did not have his tefillin, he would not even open the sidur, but he would stand in shul for the entire tefillah from beginning to end, and he would recite every Kaddish. In the evening, he would come to Mincha. Once again, by Mincha, he would say Kaddish. Once again, I'm just closing the chat. Once again, by Mincha, he would say Kaddish. And then brazenly leave the show while the young rabbi was giving a shir between Mincha and Marv. Very often, there's a short shir between Mincha and Marv. He would walk out for the shir, he would wait outside, he would talk on his phone, he would text. When he was called in for Marv by the rabbi, he would return for Marv, Arvit, at which point he sat silently until it was time to say Kaddish. His demeaning attitude towards anything religious led Amit, the sister, believe that Nir, her brother, would surely stop saying Kaddish before the 11 months. I mean, this guy doesn't care about Tefillah, he doesn't care about the rabbi, he doesn't care about the Sidur, he doesn't care about the Shir, all he wants is the money. Is he really going to commit himself everywhere he is for 11 full months, three times a day to go to Beit Knesset? At least, perhaps he would miss at least one or two recitations of Kaddish. And then she would get an additional $500,000. She even hired detectives to keep watching him for a short period of time. And incredibly, he did not miss one Kaddish. Exasperated, Ami found out where the young rabbi lived, the rabbi of the Moshav, and she went to see him. And she said, "You know as well as I do that my brother's saying Kaddish for one reason, for the money. He has no interest even in you or your talks. He shames you by walking out of your shiur every night. Why do you, the rabbi, go out to call him in?" The rabbi would go out after shir to tell Nir it's time to come in for Arvit and to say Kaddish. "Don't go out for him, rabbi. Let him just miss a Kaddish on his own. I'll make you a deal. I will get another $500,000. I will give the shul, the Beit Knesset, $100,000. Let some of my father's money go to a good cause. It will not happen if my brother gets all the money." The rabbi thought about it. Of course, Amit seemed to be right. Nir would not use the money for holy things. The rabbi would certainly not stop Nir from saying Kaddish, but perhaps he should not call him in after the shir for Arvit. He wondered if he was allowed to go along with this plan. After all, the Beit Knesset on the Moshav did need $100,000. So he went to the Gadol Hador and the Posek Hador of Aaron Leib Steinman in Bnei Brak, and he posed the question. Rav Steinman answered with the following perspective. From, if you have read anything about Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, anything at all, besides for his Gaonus in Torah, he was literally, almost, not literally physically, but spiritually, as if he was living in an entirely different realm. He was a Ben Olam Haba, they would call him a Ben Olam Haba while he was an Olam Hazeh. But his sensitivity and intuition to human beings was lamala min hateva. When it came to children who were troubled, they wanted to kick them out of schools. Gaiva, 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 he screamed about the people who wouldn't accept him into yeshivos. So this rabbi comes to Rav Aaron Leib and he gives this shayla. Rav Aaron Leib said, "This is not about Nir, the boy, the son. It's not about Amit, the daughter. It's not about the money, and it's not about you, the rabbi, or your Beit Knesset. The only relevant party here is the father and the Olam HaEmet. His soul yearns that Kaddish be said for him every tefillah, every day. How can anyone be part of a plan that would deny him the spiritual benefit and pleasure?" So the rabbi protested, and he said, "But Nir deliberately embarrasses the Torah. He walks out of the shiur. He is mezalzel tefillah. He doesn't even open a siddur. Am I obligated to bring him in for Maariv? Maybe I could just let him stand outside, not tell him when it's Arvid, and he'll miss a tefillah. I'll stay indoors. He'll miss a Kaddish, and the shul will gain financially from $100,000. Reb Steinman gazed at the young rabbi. He looked at him and he said one sentence. "And you call yourself a teacher of Torah?" The conversation was over. Reb Steinman blessed the young rabbi that he'd be successful in what he was doing. That night, the rabbi went back to the Moshav. He called Amit and he said, "No way can I stop what I'm doing." Reb Steinman said it would violate the father's wishes. "I will continue to call on your brother for Arvit so he could recite Kaddish." Nir kept coming to shul day after day, month after month. He never missed a Kaddish. One night he went over to the rabbi and he said, first of all, this story just tells you about the Gaonus of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. That's the first part of the story. But I'm not bringing it to you for that, even though it's just worth telling it for that. I'm bringing it to you because the theme of our shir tonight is there's no such thing anymore as a Rasha who is lost. That was finished in Mitzrayim. There's not in you and not in anyone else. No matter how a person seems, Haka is Shinav. Rasha minus Shinav is Tzaddik. There's no Ketores without Chelbana. There's no Seder table without the Ben HaRasha. And there's no Arba Minim without the aravos. Anyone can do teshuva, no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how you view the people in your circle. You never ever give up hope, because Rabbi Shimon says, "Al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmecha." So the rabbi said, the Gadol Dor said, "I have to call on your brother. It's not about the money." This is why I'm bringing you the story, even though the parable of Aron Leib is lamala min hateva. One night, Nir goes over to the rabbi after Arvit, and he says, "Listen, isn't it humiliating for you? Every time you start speaking, I walk out of your shir, as a magida shir, what's it called? I could tell you that sometimes people walk out in the middle of shir. It's not the most comfortable experience. I stand outside. It could be a very valid reason. You don't know. It could also be that they're sick of what you're saying, so they leave in the middle, and you're standing there, and the whole room sees somebody getting up to leave. I'll just tell you, it's very nice. Sometimes people will tell me I have to leave. Sometimes people will come over to me. I have an appointment. I have to leave 15 minutes advance. I just consider a very nice midos. Obviously, if you have to leave, you should leave. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying from that perspective, I understand. So isn't it humiliating? Every night you start cheer, I walk out. I stand outside. I don't even give you a moment of attention. The rabbi smiled and he said, "You have it wrong. It's not my loss, it's your loss. You see, every single night in Beit Knesset, I dispense diamonds. And you're not there to receive them." Nir, who loved money, said, "Diamonds? What diamonds?" "Stay tomorrow night," said the rabbi, "and you'll see." Nir started staying for the shir every night. And slowly he began to change. Eventually, he was a chozer b'teshuvah and became a shomer Shabbat Jew. The diamonds were the gems of wisdom from the Torah and its commentaries. Rabbi Kron's lesson is totally different. He talks about Rabbi Aron Leib Shteinman understanding you must be nosei ba'ol chavero, even with an hashama and the olam ha'emes. I think this story teaches us incredibly. A person could be so far from Torah, so belligerent. He seems to be such a kofer be'ikar. You don't even have the respect to put on tefillin to pick up a sidur. Minag ha'makom. Even if you don't believe in it, just be nice. He was clearly motivated by money. He wasn't a child. Years and years of such behavior. Af ata haka ishinaf. Knock out his teeth. When a person starts to see the beauty of Torah, when you take away the impediment that holds them back, they're no longer a rasha. And you're left with a tzaddik. As we enter our mamish days away, you're all going to be judged. It's a scary thought. You can't deny what you did. Your signature is there. Some of it's hopefully very good. Some of it's probably not so good. Because we're human beings. I'm not insulting anybody. We're just people. Tzadik yupol sheva v'kam u'risha im yikashlu b'ra'a. The godless is that we could always come back. Iluhaya sham lohaya nigal. Only there you would be totally lost. But in all future exiles, and in all future redemptions, and in our personal redemptions, because every Rosh Hashanah you have a new slate, you're a new person. Hayam haras olam. Hayam yamid b'mishva kol yitzurei olamim. Today the world is haras, pregnant. Today the world was created. It was fashioned. It's brand new. You're brand new. Rav Shimshon Pinkas says in his Sefer, Rav Pinkas on Rosh Hashanah, I think, on the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, he says that when you see your friend in the new year, so when we see each other next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, oh, there's no shir next week, right?
We'll see each other.
There's no shir next week, everybody.
We'll see you in October.
I think there's no shir the whole September. I don't have my phone here. Oive, I'm going to post it. I might not see you for a month. Wow. Oy. Okay, when we see each other next, well, Pinkas says you're a new person. That person you see is a tchias hamesim. It's not the same person you saw before. They're a totally new creation. You have the power to recreate yourself. No matter how many times you have tried to do a certain inyan, you haven't been successful, it does not mean you stop, and it does not mean you give up. Al ti rasha b'fnei atzmecha, says Rabbi Shimon, because the Rishayim died in the Shloshes Yemei Afela. Everyone else, rasha, minus shinav, is tzaddik. I wish you and your families, me and my care leave, each and every one of you, a kasiva v'chasima tova, a gikka ben shtira shana tovu misuka. It should be a year that is always good and only sweet. Even a sham of Miriam Fron, Miriam bas chayim itzik alal sham, tzchusa tagein alinu. She should continue to bring us merits and tzchuyot from her place in the olam ha'emes. Azor Hashem and Tafshin Pei Beis, we should reach higher heights in our Avodas Hashem, in our learning, in our Dveikus, in our Amuna, in our personal building. So I wish you a wonderful Yom Tov. I'm going to look at the calendar. I'll let you know, Chaya Feldstein says there's one opportunity to learn. If I do not have Shir, okay, if I don't have any booking on Tuesday, September 14th, which is Aser Simei Teshuvah, we will have Shari that night. I just have to confirm. I'm going to really try, because otherwise there won't be shir the whole month. Have a great Yantif, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. I love you all, really. It's an amazing shir group. I love you. Thank you so much, everyone. Kol tov. Besoros tovos. And a good Yantif.